Good morning, good morning. So, we are in Luke 6. Yeah, at least for the first part of Luke 6, there's no painting for it. So, I'm just going to do a regular teaching today, no pictures, because it's really about a couple of parables. I call it a Sabbath day because the Lord decides to try to help us to understand the Sabbath and its purposes. And so I thought I'd spend a little time trying to explain my take on the Sabbath. Just that with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. I get to look in your word, Lord. And thank you and help me to be mindful of your word, Lord, that I do it, that I present it with honor to you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Okay. So, I'll jump right in. So I'll just do a regular slide for this one. And there's actually quite a few verses, so hopefully my voice holds out. I had this little cough today. No fever or anything. Hopefully I'm not catching a cold, but we'll see. So, let's see. It came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And a certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? So I want to get a little bit into the Sabbath idea. The Sabbath, of course, by definition, is the day of rest that the Lord had instituted way back in Genesis. So let's just take a look at the Sabbath and its history. And we'll go back all the way to the beginning. Now, the first Sabbath, or the first rest period of the Lord, I didn't call it the Sabbath then. It's in Genesis 2, 3. And the God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it, he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. And so I see the Sabbath as a rest. And the Pharisees had turned it into without the intent. And I think the Lord was trying to point out to the Pharisees certain aspects of the Sabbath that they had incorrectly. And so he kind of intentionally did things on the Sabbath to show that there's certain things that the Sabbath wasn't designed to be a rule book. It was designed to institute that we should always rest from our labor. And that particularly in this day and age, of course, with people having to work 7 days a week, you know, you got firemen, you got policemen, nurses and doctors, all kinds of people, that you can't take necessarily the same day off each week. And I think back, you know, in Jesus' time, it was fairly easy to just stop work on Friday night to Saturday night, and that was their Sabbath. And for us, because of the beginning of the church, we decided to do Sundays based on the fact the Lord rose from the dead on Sundays. But I think the real factor here is just to make sure you always take a day off. And it doesn't really matter what day of the week it is. And you should set aside a time to worship. And I think that's another aspect of it. But it doesn't necessarily have to be the exact same day. So let's kind of look at some of the verses that talk about the Sabbath. And start with Exodus 31:17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days that the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and he was refreshed. Right there pretty much spells it out, that we're supposed to rest one day out of the week. Also in Exodus 23:12, I'm going to compare it to this. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. And so I think that, you know, this is like an institution to the bosses, too, that they should offer their employees a rest day each week, as they do, same thing with their bursts of their animals and stuff like that. Then in Exodus 16:29, see for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. That was during the wanderings in the wilderness between Egypt and the Promised Land, where the Lord had them was giving them manna, and they told them to gather twice as much prior to the Sabbath, so you didn't have to go out there and gather on the Sabbath. And the Lord was trying to push a point here, I think, that then a lot of what he did back in then, that time frame, was to institute some of these. I think that just like we have labor laws now, I think God was trying to institute a policy that we should always make sure that we give rest to to ourselves and to our workers. You go back in history, and there was a lot of slave labor that you basically didn't get a day off. And I think that God, in his wisdom, was trying to enforce this giving time off. Some other verses along with that is Exodus 35:3. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. That's one of the first times they used the term Sabbath. Going over to Leviticus. Now the other thing, worship also was talked about in conjunction with the Sabbath. So while you're resting, you're also going to set aside some time to the Lord. And we see that in Leviticus 19:30. You shall keep my Sabbaths and receive and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. So it's a time to gathering together and to worship the Lord. So that's also important. Leviticus 26:2. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. And then going into, and he called it a holy convocation. So he made it, in Levitical laws, they made it a rule that you were to honor the Sabbath day. But again, you got to look at the culture too. And at that time frame, it was a agricultural type industry where you either were planting or harvesting, and you didn't necessarily have to. You could set aside a day a week, and everybody could have that same day of the week. And I think honestly, I grew up in a time frame where I don't know anybody that worked on Sundays. Companies shut down, except for police, fire, obviously. Hospital workers, people like that, had to work. But pretty much everyone else, stores weren't open. You might find an occasional gas station and that it was open. But typically, you had to make sure you had everything in order and ready by Saturday, or you weren't going to be able to purchase anything on Sunday. And then a lot of times, worship in the sanctuary actually came with music. So I found this quite interesting in Psalms 68. Here it mentions the fact that music is also to be shared in worship. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God and the congregation, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There was little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judea and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. So you can see here that in the psalm, I believe it was a psalm of David, talking about, it was a song of David. It was to the chief position. So this is something David instituted, that there would be music played for worship. But of course, all of these are sanctified by the Lord. And also jumping down to Psalm 151, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his firmament of his power. And also it was interesting that this was also a day that typically people would consult with their prophets. It seemed to be the only day of the week they did that. In 2 Kings 4:23, it mentions that somebody was going to go talk to their prophet, but the person was questioning why they were going. It wasn't a Sabbath day. So in 2 Kings 4:23, and he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Is it neither new moon nor Sabbath? And she said, it shall be well. So this person was questioning. This person was going to go talk to the prophet on a day that was not the Sabbath. So it gives us an indication that typically you only talk to the prophets on the Sabbath day. And also that it was important that the Lord also commented that it was important to make sure that you honored the Sabbath and you taught your children to honor the Sabbath. Six days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So this is something that the fathers were supposed to teach their children that to go on forever and ever. Okay, back to Luke, verse 6. And the reason I bring that all up is because here Jesus is going to kind of go through with his Pharisees. We mentioned in 6:2 that the Pharisees said that what he was doing was not lawful on the Sabbath. So Jesus, this is Jesus' answer. As Jesus answering them said, "Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when he himself was an hungered, and they that which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone." And I thought I would share on this particular subject that we find that the Lord kind of indicates sometimes when in trying to show them that the Sabbath was a institution to honor you, not necessarily for you to honor God. It was a gift from God, in other words. So in Luke 13, Jesus goes through this explanation that I think fits in really well here. So Luke 13, 10 through 17, here Jesus, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. So she was bedridden. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou loose from thine infirmity." So as he's healing her. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord answered him, said unto him, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or ass from the stall and lead him away to watering?" That was, don't you feed your animals on the Sabbath? "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from that bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So I think Jesus is trying to show an example there by saying there's certain things that allow, because realize what the Sabbath is for. This is for you. But of course, if something urgent, something like a healing, something, another case, his example, it was a law that if a child was born, that they had to be circumcised on the eighth day. And if that eighth day ended up on the on a Sabbath, it was still done. So that was still considered work. So there are exceptions, and that and that I get a sense that Jesus is basically saying you're making it too legalistic. You're making it so that people can't do normal things. We're just saying that God is basically saying, "I want you to take a day to rest. But if something comes up, an emergency, take care of the emergency. But on a regular basis, make sure that you're taking rest days." Couple other verses that show this over in John 7:23. "If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have not made a man every bit whole on the Sabbath day?" And that's the example I was telling you about. That was Jesus speaking. One of my favorite ones, and I thought I'd run through it. I won't read the entire story. I think a lot of us are probably familiar with it, but it's over in Joshua. And this was pointed out to me by in a sermon once that I never really noticed it before. But during times of a battle, that maybe you may have to work on a Sabbath day. And then here's a great case of it in Joshua when they took over Jericho. And it's in Joshua 6. I'm just going to read a few verses out of it to push to prove my point. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days." So for 6 days, once a day, they're supposed to walk around the city once. Sounds like work, doesn't it? Remember, that's 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns, and the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with their trumpets. So here we are 7 days, so that they basically worked for 7 days strict, well, the day off. They broke some other rules too. Not supposed to put the Ark of the Covenant up front, and they did in this case. But also, it's interesting who was actually leading this this battle. It was actually a pre-incarnate Jesus. I didn't bring that verse up, but during this time frame, Joshua meets a man with a sword, and he challenges him, and he says, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And the person responds, "Take off your shoes, this is holy ground." And that was an indication that that he was divine, and he was from God. So that was an indication that it wasn't Jericho who led the battle it wasn't Joshua who led the battle of Jericho. It was actually God himself. But also jumping down to verses 11 through 17. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually, and blew with the trumpets, and the iron men went before them, but the re-roared came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and the blowing with the trumpets. So it was the Ark of the Covenant, and then the priests, and then the trumpeteers, and then all the people behind them. And the second day, they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day and they compassed the city about the same manner 7 times. Only on that day, they compassed the city 7 times. And we don't know which one of those days was the Sabbath, by the way. So, and it doesn't seem to be an important point for this particular teaching. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live." And this is the story about Rahab helping out those people when they went in to spy the city. So this is a great example of there are exceptions. And during war, this particular time, that they continued on and didn't take a day off to for Sabbath rest. But also in Matthew 12, 1 through 8, Jesus also speaks about it. I'm only going to read verses 5 through 7 to kind of indicate my point. Have you not read, and these are the same story I'm telling now, but in Matthew and also in Mark, there's a few things that are said that are different than in Luke. So I thought I'd mention them. So Matthew 12, 5 through 7. "Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what that this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Ye would not have condemned the guiltless." So it was, he's pointing out the fact he doesn't even know who he's talking to, and they should know. Jesus expected them to be looking for the Messiah, and that they obviously were not, because they didn't realize that that Jesus could be the Messiah. And I think what Jesus is talking about there about the priests that were doing things wrong on the Sabbath, is talking about over in Nehemiah 13, 14 through 22. I'll just read that part of it. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. This is Nehemiah talking, who was a very righteous man. In those days saw I in Judea some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. Here Nehemiah is talking against some people who are actually conducting business on the Sabbath. And he's asking forgiveness from God for not stopping it, because I guess that he tried to stop it, but they didn't listen. So he didn't want to be judged accordingly. Verse 16, there dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judea and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judea and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon the city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. What he's talking about there is the whole reason for the Babylonian captivity. And this Nehemiah's after the captivity was because they didn't honor the Sabbath of the land, which is every 7 years. And that was the whole reason that God punished them 70 years in captivity. And here they are back doing it again, and Nehemiah is upset about it. And he's pleading with God to not lay this on him, that he's trying to get the people to change, but the people aren't changing. In verse 19, and it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye at the gates, that they should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and the sellers of all kind of ware lodged out without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From the time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. So I pushed his point and he succeeded. But I think he's basically asking for forgiveness to the Lord for profaning his Sabbath day again. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. So here Nehemiah is feeling that he didn't do enough to make sure that these people didn't try to sell stuff on the Sabbath. So here he is basically asking forgiveness to the Lord and trying to do better to get to get people to stop conducting business on the Sabbath. So I think that's what Jesus was talking about back in but also over in Mark 2 has the same story we have here between verses 23 and 28. I'm just going to read a couple of verses that are different than the story we're telling here in Luke. How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. And so that's what they, I was trying to make the point earlier. As it was a gift from God to allow us to take a day off each week. And I think that the Pharisees, and what Jesus was basically saying is, you're turning this into a law, and that was not its intent. His intent was to allow for rest, and that all things need rest. The animals, the land, everything needs rest on occasion. Okay, back to Luke, verse 5. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stretch forth in thy midst. And he rose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good, or to do evil, to save life, or to destroy it? And And looking around about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. So that's basically what I was going to cover today. But just to look at a couple of things about the Sabbath and about healing, as we saw in the second one, there's other places that he talks about healing as okay on the Sabbath. And over in John 5, 2 through 10, I thought I'd read this. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole, whatsoever disease he had. I have my theories about this particular passage, by the way, that pool was not of God. It was that God doesn't work that way. So. But Jesus went to heal this man because he deserved it, not to support what was going on down at that pool. Anyways, continuing. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. It was like this big contest to get to the pool. That just ain't the way God works. And Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Notice Jesus didn't say anything about the pool. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. So here Jesus actually healed on the Sabbath. Well, of course, the Pharisees are nearby to make accusations. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is a Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. So here we get into legalistic things again. This man just got cured of a disease he had for 38 years. And all of a sudden, the only thing the Pharisees could think about is the fact that he committed a crime on the Sabbath. So I can see that these are the points that Jesus is trying to make. And there's one other one I'll mention over in Luke 14, 1 through 6. And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And they answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox falling into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? In other words, there are circumstances that warrants working on the Sabbath. And they could not answer him again to these things. So I think it's important, again, the Sabbath is an important day. But I also believe that the Lord is saying that it's okay to pick which day of the week is your Sabbath. Particularly since now Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, as he put it out, that he's the one that's instituting these policies and that we should be able to follow him and not necessarily the law of Moses. I find it interesting the comparison of how Jesus fulfilled the law and he kept the law, but that he pointed out that the law wasn't necessarily being abided by correctly, even the law they were trying to keep. And there was plenty of parts of the law that they didn't keep. That's a thing for another time. But I think that's my take on the Sabbath day and how we should honor it. And so that's all I really had for today. And we'll jump into the next section of Luke chapter 6 tomorrow. So I hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for this time to look in your word, and that you can help us to understand your word and to honor your Sabbath. And, Lord, help us to understand. I hope that I explained it well, that we do honor you. We are like worshiping you. But that we also rest, and that we pick a day of the week of the rest that allows us to not work, and that we rest, and that we take advantage of that. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So I hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.